Now, this week's show is all about the pollutants that get into water and therefore also into our bodies, and in particular chemicals that can leach out from the tons and tons of plastic that we're using every single day. And Tamara Galloway is the Professor of Ecotoxicology at Exeter University, and she's been looking at the effect of just one of these plastic-based chemicals.
We've been interested in a compound called bisphenol A for some time now because it's highly controversial. It was first produced around about the 1950s, and at that time it was produced as an artificial estrogen. But it was then found that actually it was a very useful monomer for making a range of plastics, particularly a kind of plastic called polycarbonate. Now, this is a hugely useful compound because it makes very clear, rigid plastic, which is good for reusable containers. Previously, it was thought that this compound was extremely safe. However, more recently, results from animal health studies and laboratory studies have suggested that it could be having estrogenic effects. So that is, it's acting like a hormone in the body.
Where would we find this stuff? Out there in the world or in the environment around us?
Well, polycarbonate plastic is found in a range of rigid containers that are used for things like reusable drinks bottles. Bisphenol A is also used to make epoxy resins, and these are most commonly encountered as the lining of tin cans. So these are the two places that probably most humans are exposed to bisphenol A.
And the evidence is that this stuff, being in the environment and ubiquitous around us and in these food containers, can get into our bodies.
Yes. More recent research done in America by the Center for Disease Control has shown that something like 95% of the population has measurable levels of bisphenol A in their bodies. And they work this out by measuring bisphenol A in urine samples, because what goes into your body you have to pass out.
What do we think this stuff does when it comes out of a food container or whatever and gets into our bodies? Is it there in meaningful amounts?
Well, the evidence has always suggested that it passes through our bodies very quickly, so we rapidly metabolise it and excrete it out in the urine within a matter of hours. So that, combined with earlier studies that suggested it was very safe, meant that it wasn't really much of a public health issue. But more recent studies have suggested that at very low concentrations, it could be having an effect as an oestrogen in many animal model studies.
And why is that bad?
That's bad because oestrogen's a good hormone. It promotes growth and it promotes healthy reproduction. But if it's there at the wrong time and in the wrong place, then it can lead to adverse consequences.
Such as?
Such as if it's there at the wrong time in development, oestrogen can lead to feminization. So if there's not enough testosterone and there's more oestrogen, you get feminizing effects.
And how are you trying to find out, when people are exposed to these things, what those health consequences could be?
Well, we were very interested to know not just what happens in early life, but what happens in the general adult population. We were able to take advantage of a study done in America called the Nutrition and Health Examination Survey. And this is a really fantastic program where tens of thousands of American volunteers have had all aspects of their health and nutrition studied. Since the 1980s, this has included the measurement of a whole range of different chemical compounds. And since 2003, it's also included bisphenol A. Now, one of the problems, if you're trying to look for very small effects, is that you need very large populations to be able to see them. So this large population offered us the opportunity to search for adverse health effects.
So what you're basically doing is you've got a very big cohort of people. You can then stratify them according to potential exposure or the amount of bisphenol A that's in them. You can measure that
that's
from urine,
right,
for example. And
yes,
you can then marry that up with medical history. Have they got condition X, Y or Z, and see if there's any relationship?
That's perfectly correct. And we had a lot of history on the actual health conditions that the people were suffering, but also a range of different biochemical measurements and laboratory measurements on the individual sort of proteins and hormones in their bodies.
And when you do that study, what sort of relationships emerge?
Well, quite surprisingly, when we did this study, what we found was that there was a strong association between increased exposure to bisphenol A, as evidenced by measuring concentrations in the urine, and the presence or the reporting of cardiovascular disease, of diabetes, and of changes in liver enzyme function.
Is it not possible that people who just eat a lot and therefore are being incidentally exposed to large amounts of bisphenol A because they're getting a lot of fast food out of food packets and things, that accounts for the fact that they have large amounts of it in their body, and because they're put on a bit too much weight, that elevates their stroke and diabetes and cardiovascular risk?
Absolutely. Well, of course, that was our first thought. But we went back and controlled the data extremely carefully for body mass index, for diet, for socioeconomic position, for all of the usual things that might confound this kind of result. And these associations remained robust throughout. So what that meant was that the 25% of the population with the highest exposure to bisphenol A had over a twofold increase in risk of cardiovascular disease compared to those in the bottom 25%. And that's quite a big increase in risk.
It certainly is. Obviously, this is an association, it's not causal. You don't prove that one thing leads to the other.
When you report this kind of association, in scientific terms, the most important thing to do next is to show that you can see the same association in a completely separate population. That's called replication, and it makes it much less likely that the results that you saw first time were the result of chance. So we went back. The American study had published a second wave of data in September of this year, and we went and examined the study again to see if we could see the same associations. And we did. So that makes it very unlikely to be a matter of chance.
This, presumably, when people hear this, they find quite alarming, don't they? And they're thinking, well, how do I avoid getting exposed to these chemicals? Have I been exposed? What can I do to minimise my exposure? And is it too late?
Well, there's a second good news part of this story, and that's that between the first study and the second study, the level of exposure in the general population in America had fallen by 30%. We're not entirely sure. We can't say exactly why that is, but it's most probably because of changes in manufacturing processes from companies who are saying, well, you know, there's all this concern over bisphenol A. It's not been regulated against at the moment, but let's change our formulation so that the compound is used less. The other good news story is that bisphenol A does seem to be rapidly metabolized in the body. So if you remove the exposure, it will quite rapidly disappear from the body. So it's not saying if you've been exposed, then that concentration will always remain within you.
Which is reassuring. That was Tamara Galloway. She's at the University of Exeter. And although they aren't sure yet what the mechanism for these health effects, the heart disease, diabetes and so on, could actually be, they think it could be related to the hormone-mimicking effects that we know these chemicals can have. And one important point that Tamara also went on to tell me is that they're also very concerned about the amount of plastic that's actually going into and has gone into landfill in the past, because these chemicals could now be leaching out into the watercourses and potentially also groundwater, and therefore potentially exposing us to trouble in the future.